Blog Talk Radio.
Hey everyone, and welcome to Variety Radio Online's Once Upon a Time recap. I'm your host, Rachel, and with me I have Emily. How are you doing, Emily?
Fabulous. How are you, Rachel?
I'm pretty good. I'm actually more excited for next week's episode than I am for this past week's one, but we'll get into that. Overall, this episode wasn't super exciting. I mean, I don't know. What did you think about it?
Yeah, I don't think in terms of, like, anything particular that happened, it wasn't, like, the, like, standout to me. It was, like, besides that whole, like, Henry thing, I guess that was kind of, like, the biggest part, his whole little heartbreak, and obviously Merlin showing up for the, well, not the first time, but, like, the first time in the present.
So out of the tree.
Out of the tree. So that was cool, but other than that, it kind of was just, like, it seemed like a weird, like, jump almost. Like, all of a sudden, from the week before to this week, it was like, how did that happen so fast? It felt like they skipped a week. And I just didn't really understand why it was like that. But I guess they just had to advance this plot along and, you know, get Emma going on the darkness, whatever. So her distraction from Hook couldn't last forever, I guess, so.
I suppose not. I have to agree with you. I mean, I get it, kind of. At the same time, it did seem a tad rushed. But at the same time, the whole thing with Emma and Henry, it reminds me of when Rumple turned that guy into a snail because he knocked Bellfire over with the cart. So, and he turned his snail because he hurt Bellfire. He thought he was doing the right thing. He thought it was totally okay, and he didn't think anything of it. So I kind of feel like that was kind of Emma's thinking, like, yeah, she'll hurt Henry's friend or crush her. Blah, 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 blah. She'll hurt Violet and hurt Henry in the process, but in the end, it's for the greater good because it's to free Merlin and to take away her darkness. So I feel like in Emma's twisted mind, it made sense to her. And even Rumple was saying how no matter how much you justify it, you're still going to lose the ones you love, da 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 da.
Yeah, I think that obviously they didn't ever show the fact, like, her, because every week, so maybe it's just like the thought process seemed rushed because for the first time in however many weeks, 4 weeks, 5 weeks, they haven't shown Rumple, like, in her head. Like, doesn't mean he's not still there, obviously, because I doubt, like, one afternoon would have just eradicated him completely from her mind. It just kind of distracted her for the time being. So then, but once she was left alone again, it kind of probably came back. I don't know. So clearly, because then she had all these ideas about, like, oh, the dream catcher and all this stuff, and it's like, how did you think of all of that? Like, you don't know anything about, like, the history of magic and, like, how all that stuff works. So clearly, like, there had to have been some things going on in her head that we just didn't see because we thought that, you know, she was doing better, but maybe it got worse. I don't know. It's hard to say.
Yeah. There definitely had to be a time jump of some sort, or at least that's what I'm going with, because I can't believe that Emma went from being semi-okay to completely dark in 24 hours with no reason for it whatsoever, other than that she's the dark one. I do love Henry and his whole little date thing, and he's trying to be a hero so he can impress Violet. I thought that was adorable. That was probably, one of my favorite
The highlight ones. Of the episode, probably. Just all of the little parts, like the parts in Camelot and the parts back in Storybrooke, all of the little pieces that showed his little backstory. And then you add on Emma as the Dark One, you know, trying to be with Henry and do, like, Operation Cobra stuff when really she's,
okay.
I don't know, manipulating
that
him, which was crazy
scene,
to me, but...
That whole scene when he was like, do you remember what I brought back to have Annie? They played the music from the first season, and I was hit with, like, so many feels, and just because it was the same exact melody, same tune, same everything, like, everything, it was the same song that used to play with Henry and Emma, and I was like, oh, that's just me, you guys are playing the same music, and it's not them, and, ugh, it hurt.
Yeah.
It hurt a lot.
It did. Especially when the way that the way that Emma acted around him, it was just kind of like weird to see her trying to be so, like, you know, nonchalant and buddy like normal when she clearly had this like other edge to her. Like it felt like two kind of things rubbing against each other, and they didn't want to, like, it just was like friction, and it felt weird, and I was like, I don't know how to feel about watching this right now, because it makes me feel very strange.
Yeah.
And it was just a weird experience to have, like, an old school Emma and Henry, like, bonding session, but then it's like, but there's, like, that layer of just something wrong going on at the same time.
Yeah, no, I agree with you completely. I was like, this is so adorable, but it's so weird because this should not be happening, but I'm going to go with it.
Yeah, definitely strange.
When they did the flashback with Regina and her dream catcher and seeing Daniel die again, I was just sitting there. I was like, I do not miss Cora at all, and I'm so glad that
so
Cora is dead and
gone. She's coming back for the 100th episode, I just thought, today, so I guess we'll see how that, I mean, I don't
I'm sure everybody's like coming
didn't.
Back for the 100th episode.
Yeah.
100th, blah, 100th episode.
Yeah,
what they really
need
to do
is
get Jamie Dornan, store him in there.
That would just be the best thing
still
that could ever
happen.
Have you
Graham again? I would take Graham over Neil. No offense to Neil lovers, but
yeah.
I love me some Graham.
there were a lot
so
of Graham
adorable.
Speaking of Neil, though, I felt like there was a lot of, like, borderline
throwback
forced,
to him.
Like, throw. I'm like, okay. So, like, the way that Emma, I don't know, maybe it's because it was, like, Jennifer Morrison as the Dark One, and it just was weird to begin with. But I felt like some of those, like, well, no, because they were in Camelot, which said, like, the way she would just, like, throw out, like, they're just kind of, like, throwing things out about Neil that just, like, don't, like, they don't really, not that they don't fit, because it's like, okay, there's a lot of his story we don't know, but it just felt out of place. Like, why, like, cool, you're, you know, bringing, like, I thought it was cute that they said, oh, the song that was, like, his dad showed him that song. Like, sure, that was cute. Like, I liked that. But then to, like, throw in those other, like, random kind of one-liners about it, just, I don't know. Like, it was parts of them were cute, but the other parts were kind of, like, weird, and they felt forced.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well,
I'm
going to turn it into a Captain Swan thing because that's what I do. when Hook was like, yeah, Neil gave her one of these, or gave her one that was similar to this, I was like,
yeah,
you guys talked about your past. And your
goodness. Oh, yeah. The Dreamcatcher was definitely justified because we knew that already. Like, we knew that he gave her a Dreamcatcher. Like, we saw that happen multiple times. So that one didn't feel weird. But, like, when she, like, just, like I say, the song, like, the fact that Henry said, oh, my dad showed me the song, that wasn't weird. But when Emma was like, oh, yeah, that's how your dad got me, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, what? I'm like, I don't understand. What are you talking about? It's just weird. Maybe it's just weird to hear Emma talk about Neil in, like, a positive light because we're so used to hearing bad things about him from her. So maybe it's just how you just have to process, you know, the feelings of
and the way,
her not talking
the
bad
way
about
Jennifer,
him.
Yeah. The way Jennifer plays the Dark One is everything's very calculated in her voice and everything's very, like she's reading the script almost, but not like she's not acting. It's just, like, the way the Dark One talks. Like you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
everything's
very monotone.
Like,
yeah. So I feel like that kind of played a factor into it, too.
Yeah.
just because she doesn't have the emotions that she usually would when it came to Neil and all that.
Yeah, so seeing her cry with the Dreamcatcher, obviously we know wasn't because it wasn't. Not saying that she wasn't crying because Dreamcatchers remind her of Neil or whatever, but clearly it then was made obvious later that she was crying over what she did, and it was Violet's Dreamcatcher that she was crying over because it was what, you know, she broke Henry's heart with that, and I was just like, that whole room, that entire room of Dreamcatchers, that means that, like, everybody's memories are in there.
So oh, I didn't even think about that.
And steal them back,
totally...
and then they can all, we can all watch their memories and find out what happened, because...
I didn't even think about that at all.
Oh,
I was
yeah,
like,
there's
oh, that's
so many hanging out.
I was like, well, that was in Camelot, wasn't it?
No. It was when she was, because she was in, like, her, you know, black get-up and whatever.
Oh, yeah.
It's when Rumple...
Yeah.
Real Rumple, not
well,
the one in her head, was saying you're going to lose 1v1, and she left her basement, went up into outside her house,
that's right.
And was in that shed full of Dreamcatchers.
That's right. Oh my god. I didn't think of that. I was like, oh look, that's her hobby. She makes Dreamcatchers. It didn't
oh,
click for me.
She makes Dreamcatchers because she's crazy.
Oh,
like Rumple's
she's,
fun, thinks
she
goes to gold,
the craft
and,
show.
And she likes to craft Dreamcatchers. I mean,
oh,
hey,
like,
she could
know.
Have made them all herself. You never
she
know.
She did, though.
She did. But she did make them all, but she made them
but
all
she
to
made
trap the real memories.
Memories. Yeah. I thought she was just letting out her creative side. My bad.
Just getting crafty.
She's getting crafty. She's got to go to the storybook craft show next week. She's got a lot of stuff to sell.
She's got a lot of stuff to sell.
Yep. One of my other favorite little one-liners of the show was when Regina and Emma are walking up, and Henry goes, "Hey, moms."
That was funny.
I was
it's
like,
kinda...
I thought it was funny.
Yeah, it's interesting, because
like,
it's like, what do you
right.
even call, like, how do you refer to two
yeah.
people who are, like, completely separate, but, like, one, like, you both, you consider them both mom. It's, like, weird, you know, it's weird. But
yeah.
It's cute how he just kind of nonchalantly said, oh, hey,
he
mom.
He just takes
like,
it. He's just like, all right. He's like, this is my life. I have
like,
two moms
my
and,
life.
Like, a bajillion extra people.
I have a huge
yeah.
family, and I don't know what to do with it, but I'm rolled punches.
Yep. One thing that did aggravate me was when he's like, how old are you, boy? And he's like, 13. Shouldn't Henry be older than 13?
No, I don't think so. Cause he was.
I thought he was like 14.
He was well, maybe
11
he's almost
when
14.
He found Emma, right?
Yeah. But in reality,
then,
though, I think like in terms of like how many years have passed, like in the story, like we've had five seasons, but every season hasn't been an entire year. I don't think. I don't know. Cause I feel
well,
like
then there was a missing
two,
year.
Yeah, the missing year is how they, because he should have been 12, like, last year, because I feel like seasons 1 through, like, 2.5, Henry was, like, you know, 11 to 12, like, he wasn't getting older.
Okay.
Like, because it was, like, I think it all happened within the span of, like, a year, like, Emma came to town, and then, like, a whole year. That all took one and a half like years of time in their world, but it was like 3 in ours because they split it up.
All right.
Or at least the first two seasons well, were like 1 year because season
yeah.
2 picked up like right where season 1 left off, and that was when the curse broke, and Emma had only been there for like 6 months. So
yeah,
it's weird. Like yeah, it doesn't make any sense, but I definitely think that the missing year was there. So that they could say Henry
that would bring
13.
Him to 13.
So then it would be closer to Jared's real age.
So he'll be...
He's 14 or however
old he
is.
How old
is
Jared?
I don't even know.
Now. He keeps getting taller and his voice is getting deeper and it's throwing me off.
No, I think he's like 14. Maybe he's 15 now. I don't know. But
hold
they need to get
hold
into
on.
An
we're
age
gonna,
where...
We're going to find this out.
We don't need it. So Rachel needs to look this up because I'm on my phone and I can't.
I am Googling. He's 15. So, okay,
so yeah.
I feel like this would have been a...
They had to, like, bring him to a point where it'd be realistic that his voice is changing. And 13 is kind of, like, a realistic time for, like, a guy to kind of be hitting puberty, at least. So.
But I feel like they could have just been, like, almost 15. Like, they could have, like, just played some time loop games or something. Like, you know how, like, they're not always accurate on timing with TV shows and years
yeah.
and stuff? I feel like this would have been a perfect opportunity to have been like...
Yeah, they could have.
I'm
could have been like, oh, well, every season was a year, so he's... And then there was a missing year, or... Yeah.
They could have played
it
off. There's TV shows that have done way worse with ages and timing and stuff, so...
Yeah. But...
It's aggravating, because...
Either way.
I wasn't going on dates when I was 13, and I wasn't having a romantic candlelit dinner at 13 either, so I was just kind of like... Like... 14, 15, I could see that. But, like,
yeah.
I don't know. 13 to me, I'm
no,
still kid.
Think about it. Like, how much really changes between when you're 13 and when you're 14? So, maybe he's almost 14.
Yeah.
So.
I'm going to go with almost 14 or almost 15. In my mind, Henry's older. Because he looks so much older. He does not pass for 13 at all.
Yeah, and then if you think about it, the missing year happened in season 3, so that was like a whole, there's been a whole
That's
season.
That's what I'm saying.
So he's probably like
he should
a
be
almost away from 14
at least
this point.
14. He should be, like, his birthday should be
14.
Next week if he's still 13.
His birthday is soon, hopefully, because I don't know how much longer they can say he's 13.
Yeah. All right, back on track. Now that we have ranted about Henry's age, I love the fact that the horse went to Peter Pumpkin Eaters.
I didn't even notice that. I mean, I like.
Oh my god! I cracked up. I was like, she's like, yeah. You used to get a lot of noise complaints. Peter likes his parties. I'm like, Peter Pumpkin Eater. Oh my god. So I had an adorable little giggle with that. I loved it. I was like, oh, Emma.
That's cute. I didn't even think of that when that happened. I just thought, oh,
yeah.
Okay. Like, there's a guy out here who has
pumpkins.
Like,
yeah, I was like, all right, it's almost Halloween. I get the pumpkin patch. But then she said Peter, and I was like, oh, snap. So I like how they tied
now.
In some more people.
Yeah, it's always fun when they get to drop little Easter eggs, even if they're never going to do anything with them. They still can
yeah.
kind of...
Yeah, don't bring them in, because we don't need
about.
Anymore.
Yeah,
yeah.
No, but it's always fun when...
We don't need any more actual characters. Mm-hmm. Exactly. So, well, Emma and Henry were at Peter Pumpkin Eaters. It's just fun to say. Regina and Hook and... That's Tom, Sean, Robin, and Belle. We're at Emma's new house trying to break in. I don't know. I don't get why they had to have everybody go with them, but whatever. But I do love how Regina was. I love Regina and Hook's banter. Like, if Hook and Emma weren't together, I'd probably ship Regina and Hook, or I feel like they would make really awesome siblings because they're basically parallel characters, and they got a lot of problems. I feel like they'd be great as
yeah.
siblings.
Yeah,
anyways, so, yeah, Hook discovered, or I guess everybody did, everybody that was down there, they found this Excalibur. I still don't understand why it's back in the stone. Like, that doesn't make sense to me at all. Maybe that'll be explained later. But for right now, I don't know why it's back in the stone. I also don't get why Hook just randomly needed to check a random box and be like, oh, look, a dream catcher. Oh, look, memories. Like,
yeah.
I don't know. It bothered me. He was just like walked
yeah,
over and
I don't
was
know.
Like, I wonder what's in this box.
Spooky all the time. Like, because it was like the second that door... Like, that was the first thing he went for in her house. Like, it was, like, without even a second thought, he just, like, immediately started walking towards it. So I don't know if it's just, like, him being a pirate. He's, like, always searching for, to uncover things, and he just notices stuff like that. Like, I don't know. Like, for whatever reason, he was drawn to, like, he,
I will take that.
Out of the corner of his eye, he sees this, like, strange-looking box on a table and goes, hey, we should investigate what's in here, because who knows? And I don't know. That's my
Detective Hook is on the case. Yeah, I will buy that. I will buy the whole pirate curiosity thing. I just feel like they make it a little more obvious if that's what they're going for, because it kind of literally just looks like they said, hey, Hook, go look in this box so we have a reason to open it, and then you can find a dream catcher.
I think it was like they all were walking out the door, and he happened to glance over and saw this box laying out on the table and figured, you know, she doesn't have anything else in this house, like, that's hers, like, why does she have this box? Yeah. I don't know.
Good point. We'll go with the pirate thing. I like the pirate theory, because I miss his pirate outfit, so I'll take what I can get.
But hey, we are getting a dose of, like, a new version of it every slice that they have, so that is always good.
I like that outfit as well. I love all the Hook outfits. All the pirate outfits are my favorite.
I was going to say, you know what else we love? Merlin. Like, we can't put off of the best part of this episode.
Merlin is looking fine and dandy. He looks much better human than he does as a tree. I will give him that.
Yeah.
Was he the same one in the first episode? Because I feel like we would have remembered this.
Yeah. Wait, you mean, like, the movie
the
theater
one that
guy?
Was, like, yeah.
Yeah, he is. It's just he was wearing, like, wasn't he wearing some kind
of
weird, like,
Usher outfit.
And hat thing. Yeah.
Now he's in a sorcerer outfit.
Yeah, it is the same person.
Didn't look like the same person, that's for sure.
I mean, that whole, like, mystical, magical cape thing kind of gives you this whole other level of sex appeal.
Yep.
More so than, like, a red, like, weird little coat and hat.
Well, it just makes me think of Halloween Horror Nights, because I was just there. I went there twice, and they have a character called the Usher, and it's, like, a creepy Usher, like a haunted, scary-looking Usher person. So I was like, why are you wearing that? That's not cute. Okay.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that was why I was like, is this the same person? Because I kind of ignored him in the movie theater. Like, I didn't really pay attention to what he looked like. But, yeah, now that he's got his cape on and his fancy Camelot outfit. Speaking of fine-looking men on the show, oh, Arthur.
Oh, Arthur.
I don't even know what to say about Arthur anymore. We didn't get too much of him in this episode, but the fact that we know what he does in Camelot now, and they don't remember him from Camelot, and they're just sitting there chatting with Shady Pants, like, la, 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 let me tell you everything that's going on and everything that we think happened, and let me tell you all about the dagger, and la, 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 la. And I'm just like, why are you still sitting with him? Like, I know you don't remember this right now, but you need to kind of get an inkling that he's a bad guy. And
so
I wasn't a fan.
You can tell.
I was a fan of him and Hook talking. But, you know.
Yes, that's what I was going to say. I could tell that Anne was the one that they were, you know, exchanging words because they look the same. But secondly, the more important thing is that Hook was so on to his BS. Like, you could tell he had that look on his face. Like, he was not
buying
anything that he was saying. He was like, yeah, sure. Like, yeah, you tell us about this sword and yada, you know, whatever. You could tell that he knew something was up.
Yeah,
like,
he had his little eye squint and head tilt going on, and that's when, yo, something is up. He's not stupid. Killian is not stupid. He's really not at all. Now, the Charmies, on the other hand, I'm not going to talk about that, but, you know.
We know.
You know. They're just so hopeful all the time.
It's fun.
Their hope gets in the way quite a bit. I'm in love with Mirda, and I am so happy she's back, and next week is a Mirda-type episode. I'm excited.
Yes, I'm pretty stoked, because that whole, just everything about, okay, I lied, that was sad. Sometimes, you know, seeing Merlin and Henry's little heartbreak story, like, the whole Mirda and Rumpel thing was, like, the best thing that that happened in that whole episode, because, well, it wasn't even because of the characters by any means. Like, yeah, it was awesome because of Mirda, and, you know, proving that Rumpel is obviously this, he's such a coward. It's not even funny how, like, weak and
it's just sad.
Awful he is without anything.
Sad,
like, he doesn't have power to hold on to. He, like, can't even stand up on his own. Like, they make his physical, like, miscomings, like, kind of parallel his, you know, miscomings as a person, and just put that in my head, I'm thinking, okay, here we have Robert Carlyle, who is, like, awesome and Scottish, you know, from Glasgow, whatever, and then we have Amy from, she's also Scottish, and I'm just, like, thinking in my head, like, what were they like on set? Like, were they just, like, having the best time ever? Because it probably was a surreal experience for her, because, I mean, she's younger, so she probably knew who he was before growing up. But in my head, I'm just, like, thinking of all the possibilities and, like, how they're both just talking in their Scottish accents, and that's, like, all I can think about. So for reasons,
and I'm sure,
besides what
I
actually
feel like,
happened in the show, that was my favorite.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like when you put two people with an accent together, their accent, like, the same accent, their accents get so heavier, and then,
oh,
like,
yeah,
30 minutes into a conversation, you can't understand anything that they're saying.
For sure, because, like, they know, they can understand each other, so they don't have to think about enunciating, they could just, like, you know, draw it out, and, like, they'll understand. But I'm just like,
yeah,
especially because our Carlyle, like, when he talks in, like, his real voice, it's, like, so different than his, you know, acting voice. And you, like, you barely understand what he's saying, and I'm like,
oh, I know.
How is it that in real life you don't enunciate as much as you do, like, when you're acting? Like, wouldn't you carry that over? Wouldn't you realize that people are trying to understand what you're saying? I don't,
well,
it's
like
just
a
so
fake
funny
accent
to me.
Almost, I think, when he's acting.
Yeah.
It's like,
so,
I don't know.
Yeah,
I love accents.
That
they're
whole
so
thing,
interesting.
I was just really all about that, and I really am looking forward to more, because the fact that she went and read the storybook, got the cup, brought it back, and was, like, antagonizing him, I was, like, all about all of it. I'm just like, this is fantastic. And I'm really excited for her to bring Belin to it next week even more by, like, whatever she's going to do to her, kidnap her, or whatever the heck she looks like she's going to do.
Speaking of Scottish accents and Scottish men, Paul Telfer is going to be on Once Upon a Time next week, and I am so excited because he is such a great guy, and I know him from The Vampire Diaries. He was on a few episodes and flashbacks as well for that show. And I met him at conventions, and we've interviewed him before, so his interview is on our website at TheVRO.com. But yeah, I'm so excited. And, you know, he posted an Instagram photo and it says, costume department likes to save money when I come on set. So he's shirtless with a bear rug type thing and a kilt. So, you know.
He may or may not have been inspired to post because of you. Posting on Instagram before he did.
Yeah. I'm not complaining. But yeah, so I'm excited for next week because we got the whole Brave storyline coming in, and since he's on there, that means there's going to be Brave flashbacks, and I think he plays Lord
all of the Scottish things,
Mackin something. I don't
remember. Lord Mackintosh. Yeah, I think that's who he's playing.
But
so, anytime there's going to be a guy in a kilt without a shirt on, I'm obviously there.
I mean, there is a reason I watch Outlander.
Number one. just going to say that reason number one for rewatching Outlander. Well, maybe reason number two, because this just really is a good show. But reason number one.
It is.
Shallow reason number one for watching Outlander is shirtless man in a kilt. But
you
real talk,
wrong.
Reason is because it's a good show. But
yes. But yeah, I'm excited for next week. I feel like it's going to be a really good episode. Because they got good people in it. Not that, like, they don't always have good people, but you know what I mean. You know what I'm saying. Like, the whole Brave storyline, and I'm just excited because I need to rewatch it, actually.
Bought Brave this weekend.
I mean,
I was at the store.
Is it on Netflix?
Thought,
because I need to go rewatch it.
No, I don't think it is, which is unfortunate, which is why I was like, I'm going to buy this because, I love that movie so much, and I was like, why don't I own this movie? So I just went and bought it. And I also bought the entire season one of Outlander. So I was like, feeling the Scottish vibe over the weekend.
You are just on top of it.
So I'm just really excited for this whole, like, Scottish vibe to continue throughout the week and then into Sunday.
Next week, Emily's going to have a Scottish accent after she watches all these shows. So next week, she will have a Scottish accent. Scottish accent on the show. Just a wee bit.
Just a wee bit.
All right, I think we covered pretty much everything. Anything else you want to talk about?
No, I think that was pretty much it. Merlin's a hottie. Merida's awesome. Henry getting broken was really sad. And
Men in
Kilts next week. That's all we need
men
to worry
about. Men in
Kilts
next week. That's it for this show. So be sure to check us out on Variety Radio online on Facebook, Twitter, Tumblr, Instagram, the VRO.com. The links are somewhere around. Just look up Variety Radio online and they will pop up. We will see you next week and we will be discussing our Scottish episode /Brave/. Kilts. Yay.
Yay.
Bye.
Bye.